Blog Talk Radio.
These haphazard words that's getting us nowhere is not going to get God to move faster. But if you remind God what he said, listen, God is a God that keeps covenant. He's a faithful keeping God, a covenant keeping God even to 1,000 generations. So if God said it, he's got to move. Let's remind God what he said. You said that Jesus was the sin bearer of the world. You said that you sent your son to redeem me. You didn't send your son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through him. That the world would be saved through him. So, Lord, we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We know that these times are hard, but all of us have been put in a situation now. We ain't got no choice but to look to him. We're not looking to the hills, but we're looking to the God of the hills, the maker of heaven and earth. Everybody, listen, hear what I say now. If COVID-19 don't straighten you out, nothing else will. Trust me, when people are dying by the thousands, you've woken out. Look how much pressure we put on ourselves to cover ourselves. Listen, I go out with two masks, a bandana tied around my hand, and three pairs of gloves. And I'm saved and I'm anointed and I got power with God and I know that I can walk upon scorpions and tread upon serpents and nothing by any means shall harm me. If I drink any deadly thing, nothing will happen. I get it, but I'm not going to tempt the Lord either. I'm going to use wisdom and I'm going to go out with a mask and I'm going to do what I have to do and I'm going to practice social distancing. I'm going to do that. But we are now in an era in time. Well, everybody now has got to acknowledge that God is God. Bishops, pastors, preachers, all of us. See, ain't nobody fighting now. Nobody's fighting now who got the biggest church, which church get the most money. We ain't fighting. Why? Because all the churches are closed. 700,000 New Yorkers are unemployed now. Who's getting tithes and offering? And we still have to be obedient to the word of God by tithing and offering if we're receiving income. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? God has put us in a position. Nobody got a bigger church or better church than nobody else's because we're all in the same predicament. Whether you're mega or whether you're a storefront, we are all in the same position. So now it's time for introspection. Introspection causes you to think. Can I share something with you? And this is personal. This is Marcus McKnight. This is my theory of what I'm seeing. Why? Because, you know, not only are we in this dearth and famine, but we now have hit an economic strain on finances for our churches. We have mortgages to pay, light bills to pay, but there are no resources coming in for that, right? But God is now trying to bring us to an awareness and a consciousness of how we spend our money. Bishops, because I'm a bishop in the Lord's church. June 30th will be 2 years that I was consecrated to the office of bishop. Hear me. I was consecrated to the office of bishop. I wasn't called to be a bishop. Nobody is called to be a bishop because the bishop is an office that a man desires. So if you desire the work to do it, you're not called to do it. But now, look at all of the effort that we put in to these ceremonies. If you're like me, you've spent at least $25,000 on this stuff to have a ceremony and to wear the costume, because that's what it is. And I say that respectfully for all of you conservative people, you know, who think that all this stuff is necessary. I applaud you. But now I'm using sense and sensibility. Because, see, God is sending a message. See, we've gone too far. And to all my Catholic brothers and sisters, to the Pentecostals, to the Christians, we need to understand that that group of people, Catholicism, the head of their church is the pontiff. But for true believers, the church of Jesus Christ is the head of our church. He is our high priest. That's who he is. So because we followed the pattern to do some of this stuff that they do, in particular the garments, which are very expensive, and the crosses, which are very expensive, and the rings, which are very expensive, and the mitre, which is very expensive, and the sash. Listen, for those of you that don't know the processes that go on in these ceremonies, there's a lot, because you have to spend a lot of money. You have to pay for your consecrator. You have to pay for your co-consecrator. You have to pay for your homilist. Yeah, you do. And if your chief consecrator got an assistant, you got to pay for him too. And if you're flying them in from another state, you got to pay for their airfare, and then you got to pay for their hotel. This is all money, folks. This is all money, folks. So I guarantee you, if you're going this new route now, I guarantee you, you're thinking, I could have used that $25,000 for something else. You know why? Because, see, if you took that stuff to the pawn shop, you wouldn't get a red cent for it. You know why? Ask me why. Because the pawn shops is closed. Because the pawn shops ain't got no money. Try to take your bishop ring to the pawn shop, pawn it, to get some money so you can pay your rent and your mortgage for the month. Ain't going down, bro. Ain't going down. Because, see, our priorities have become distorted. Our priorities have become distorted. Thank God for the days of old. I'm a very progressive pastor. Very progressive. But I will never, ever forget my foundation. I've said it in a post. If the foundation be removed, what will the righteous do? What are we going to do? We're not even looking to the fathers. God is calling these bishops home. We have 10,000 instructors, but few fathers. But the fathers are leaving, and they're dropping the mantle, and we've got to pick up that mantle. But we have to hear what they've said to us. That's why a lot of the colleagues that I have, most of the colleagues that I associate with, are men that are much older than I am, because they're established men. They're established men who have set the bar high for what is required to build churches that last. See, my peers and pastors younger than myself, we figure to get our churches to be productive, we got to get a lot of young people. But Albert Jameson, Bishop Albert Jameson, who I love, says something so profound.